Hello, 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 and welcome back to the McKenzie series. We are definitely hitting the hot spots of this book. As I mentioned, this book was written 9 years ago, and I am actually reading it like it's the first time. Like, I am a reader and not the person that actually wrote it. Definitely exciting. Definitely getting to a good point in the book. When we left off last, Milton and McKenzie ended up at the same club. Prior to arriving at the same location, Milton showed up at the house. He acted like he was a complete stranger, had the audacity to ring the doorbell, knowing good and well he had a key. Then there's this mystery lady that is like all up in his face. You know, who is she? Is she really, like Milton said, somebody that was like trying to hook up with him, but he wasn't giving her the time of day? You know, are we gonna find out more about this mystery lady? Since him and McKenzie, you know, seem to have been speaking a little bit more at the end of the club, are they still gonna have to wait till Sunday to talk? Or is Milton, after seeing her out and seeing her have a good time and seeing that she's not fazed by him leaving, you know, is he going to get his shit together and put his big boy pants on and deal with the fact that, okay, my soon-to-be wife had a life before me. She's been a good girl since we've been together. She's respected our relationship. So maybe I am tripping. So, you know, is he going to, you know, basically get over whatever it is that caused him to trip out and rekindle things with McKenzie? I mean, they have a wedding to plan. I want to go to the wedding. I am definitely reading this book with you guys as if it's my very first time reading it, even though I wrote it. I mean, it's been 9 years ago. And even as I'm reading it, I have to laugh. Definitely, if I ever re-release this in print, I have to get a different editor. Again, but my first book, it started off as a, you know, just something for fun. I didn't even think that I was going to release this book, let alone sell one copy to anybody. But now that I've run out of copies of this, I definitely need to get it in front of an editor to be re-edited, because I'm reading it and it's like, that shouldn't be that way. But at any rate, it still makes for a good book, a good read, and it's so relatable. I don't know about you, but for me, this book is so relatable. Like, had I not written it, and or had I not wrote it, whichever, this will be a book that I would be like all, you know, all into or whatever. Like, so I'm definitely enjoying the way that I'm breaking it down in the different segments and everything, and I'm just sitting here like, if I had some pearls to clutch, they will be clutch, especially as our girl McKenzie is going through these journal entries. Oh my geez, she has definitely lived the life. But looking forward to jumping back in tonight and see where this adventure takes us. So as usual, before we begin, get comfortable, relax, and as we say at the end of each episode to kick off our reading for the night, let the journey begin. The morning after. I awoke from a deep sleep the next morning to the sounds of movement coming from downstairs in the kitchen. First thing I thought was someone had broken into the house. Was I so tore up last night I forgot to lock the door? I was hesitant to leave the bed, but I had to think about my plan, just in case there was some strange person in my house. Just as I built up the courage to go downstairs, I heard someone coming up the stairs. I watched a lot of Lifetime television, so I decided it was best to just lay there and pretend I was still asleep. Maybe then the intruder would just take what they wanted and let me be. As the steps got closer, I could hear a man's voice. It sounded like Milton. I know I did not see his car when I came in. When did he get here? I questioned. Seconds later, I could hear his voice more clearly in the guest room. Milton was never good at whispering. I could hear his entire conversation as if he were in the same room. The house was also so quiet, I could even hear the voice of the person on the other end with whom he was speaking. Man, I heard the club was jumping last night, said a voice that I quickly recognized as Corey's. Corey was Milton's frat brother. He was not in the club last night. Corey had recently moved to Atlanta, but he was always in the know about what was going on back home. Chris also had a big-ass mouth, so I would not have been surprised if he hopped on the phone last night after the club to fill Chris in on everything that took place. "Yeah, the club was like that. I had a good time with the fellas," Milton responded. "Well, you know I'm not going to even sugarcoat it. What's going on with you and Miss Johnson? You know news travels fast." "Well, everything is at a standstill right now. I haven't been staying at the house. I left last weekend. I just came up last night to get some things from the crib," Milton responded. "Man, how much longer are you going to ride that shit out? You got a good woman. You cannot expect her to sit and wait around while you deal with your nonsense. But enough about that. You're grown, and I know you're going to do the right thing. So, who was this chick all in your grill last night?" Damn, Chris does tell everything. "Man, it was nothing. I'm not even going there," Milton said in an annoyed tone. He knew Chris could not hold water, so there clearly was no need for him to take that tone. "It's like that? You going to brush it off, huh? I can only imagine the details. I'm sure you cannot talk right now," Corey said jokingly. I could hear them both laughing as they continued to talk. I could tell that there was more to that situation because Milton was too quick to change the subject. I took that as my cue. I intentionally dropped the remote as I got out the bed. I even slammed the door behind me as I went into the bathroom. I looked at the mirror and shook my head. Boy, was I looking rough. I did not pin my hair up last night, and it was all over the place. As I finished up in the bathroom, I heard Milton walk into the master bedroom, so I figured I would fuck him. I would fuck with him. I took off the boy shorts and wife beater that I had slept in and returned to the bedroom in the suit that complements my body the best, my birthday suit. Milton was sitting on the edge of the bed when I walked out. I could tell he was prepared to say something when he heard the dog turn. But once he saw me there in my birthday suit, those words went out the window. I acted startled once I noticed him. I was a great actress. "What are you doing here?" I asked in a shocked tone. I raced to grab my robe as if I was ashamed for him to see my body. "What you do that for?" he asked. "I did not know you were here. Did you forget something? I thought you said you were not coming here until Sunday." "Well, after last night, I thought it would be best that I stay here. I did not want you to jump to any conclusions. You did not seem to buy what I was telling you about old girl." "Milton, it's cool. If you are lying, then that is on you to deal with. I just find it funny you make a big deal about some shit on paper several years prior to you even coming into my life, and yet you are in the club with some tramp in your face." I walked over to the dresser and fiddled with some things over there. I was trying to keep myself distracted and not make eye contact. "Anyway, Milton, since you're here, are you ready to talk? Or am I still on schedule for Sunday?" I was tired of playing the games with him and I needed to take control of the situation. "Don't act like that," he said, trying to come across as sincere. "Well, I'm just reiterating what you said," I responded. He just got quiet. I know I should be gleaming because he was there in the house with me and sort of giving me direct attention, but enough was enough. I needed answers. Time was not moving any slower, and we still had a wedding to plan. "You know, Kenzie, I have been doing some thinking, and if you want to talk, we can talk. I realize that it's not fair to you to have this big void. How about you get yourself together and we go grab something to eat?" As I headed to the closet to pull something out to wear, he walked by and kissed me on my neck. In my head, I was tripping. I cannot believe the sudden change. Just last night before we went to the club, he was acting like I was the scum of the earth. Hell, maybe the girls were right. I should have just started dancing for his ass when this argument first started. I made sure I was on point for breakfast. I needed him to see just what he stood to lose with his crazy ass ways. I kept it simple, though, but still ever so sexy. I wore a pair of denim skinny jeans, a gray fitted shirt that hung off my shoulder, and some gray flats. Dang, mama, you trying to hurt somebody. Even when you keep it simple, you still keep it sexy, he said with a smirk. I could tell he was feeling me. I could see that spark back in his eye. The car ride started off slowly. Neither one of us spoke a word. I put my hand on the armrest as we listened to Maxwell play and took in the scenery. Mackenzie, you do know I love you. He came out of nowhere with that. Was this one of those rhetorical questions, or did he really expect a response? When I read those journals, I was so hurt. All this time, Kenzie, you led me to think you were perfect. I thought you were innocent. I thought you were as pure as I was gonna get. I thought I knew everything about you. When I read those pages, I could not believe the things I was taking in. But Milt, the way you flipped out was not even called for. I can understand you feeling a little upset. I can understand you even needing a moment to digest it all. But to up and go all the way to Carolina and then not call for days at a time? That, right there, was a bit dramatic, I explained. You're right. I will give you that. Maybe my actions were a little over the top, but I was hurt. I have never felt that way before, Kenz. It's not even what you did in those books that had me so mad. I mean, on some real shit, I was a little turned on when I read that girl-on-girl shit. We both chuckled at that. I just thought we were better than that. I thought there were no secrets between us. He continued, Milton, I never felt the need to bring any of that up. That was my past. A part of me that I had forgotten long ago. That part of me and the person you have now are two entirely different people. A lot of things I did back then were a result of my insecurities with myself. I didn't really understand my worth as a woman. I grew up in an environment where the women used sex to get what they wanted. It was a way to get ahead. It took me a minute to get my wake-up call. But in my defense, all I can say is that when the light flashed, I took heed and followed suit to do what was needed to get me together. Silence fell upon us again as we continued to the restaurant. It seemed like the longest car ride ever. I was hoping the conversation would spark up when we reached our destination, because this would be the breakfast from hell if this silence continued. When we got to the restaurant, he opened my door and held my hand as we followed the waitress to our table. I took that as a sign that he was returning to his romantic side. I did not know who I was dealing with when the whole topic of my past first sparked. We looked over the menu as the silence continued. This shit was driving me insane. I decided someone had to say something. You know what you want, baby? I think I'm going to get the ham and cheese omelet. Yeah, that does sound good. I want something easy on the stomach. I still have all that alcohol in me from last night. I'm going to get something simple, like some fruit and a bagel. Milton never could handle his alcohol. The waitress took our order, but after that, silence once again crept upon us. Hell, had I known it was going to be this back and forth of silence, I would have just continued to pretend to be asleep. Once again, it was up to me to break the silence. Babe, why are you so quiet? What are you thinking? I asked. Mackenzie, I'm just still trying to process it all. Milton, what is there to process? I know that you were upset. I cannot stress that enough. I understand. It's only natural for you to feel a certain way, but at some point, you have to move on. You are holding on to my life of several years ago, which was long before we ever crossed paths. I was starting to feel like a broken record again. I found myself constantly repeating that statement. You know what, Milt? I'm going to put this out there just so you hear me out. I am almost inclined to believe that you got just as much to hide, and that is why you keep dwelling on the situation. Before I could say anything else, he quickly jumped in. If there was anything I was hiding, I would clearly bring it up now in light of all of your revelations, he said in defense. What the hell do you want me to say? My past is just that, my past. As much as I wish I could change it, there's nothing that I can do to erase or undo it. You say you are worried about someone finding out and bringing it up to you and making you feel like an ass. If anything was going to be said, I am sure it would have come out by now. Hell, as long as we have been together, we have never come across anyone from my past, nor have any of my current friends ever been out of line with you. I was starting to feel like I was on trial, facing a life sentence the way I was trying to clear my name with his ass. Here we are, scheduled to get married in a matter of weeks, and we are sitting here going back and forth over some nonsense. Mackenzie, no matter what, you do know I love you, right? Milton, this is the second time you have asked that. You act like you're about to die or something detrimental is about to happen to take you away from me. Hell, I know we have not seen eye to eye over this situation, but that doesn't mean I doubt your love all of a sudden. I explain. In my heart, I love Milton, and I never thought we would be dealing with something as petty as this. Up until now, things were so great between us. Like most couples, we had our moments, but we always seemed to work it out and move past it. As we ate our breakfast, we managed to make some small talk here and there, yet still avoiding the matter at hand. Every now and then, I would direct us back to the main point of why we even came out to breakfast. So, when are you coming back to the house? Once again, Mackenzie had to get things rolling. Milton looked at me like he could not believe I had uttered those words out of my mouth. So I asked the question again. When are you coming back to the house? How much longer is this going to last? As he was about to answer, the waitress brought the check. I could tell Milton was uncomfortable with my question as he wasted no time to pay her and head outside. As soon as we reached the car, he finally decided to answer my question. Mackenzie, your question is a legitimate one that I have been thinking long and hard about. I know that my actions are petty and we should clearly be better than this. For that, I apologize to you. You keep saying the same thing, but at the end of the day, you are not saying a damn thing. We need to get to the bottom of this. Is there anything else that you want to know? We have a wedding that I should be planning, but I have to put some things on hold because I'm not sure where your head is. Where your head is at. Hell, the way you have been acting, I don't know if I will come home to find that you have packed all your shit and left an official Dear John letter on the dresser. And as you can guess, silence fell upon us again. Wake up call. After breakfast and the car ride home, all I wanted to do was crawl back in bed and start all over again. Breakfast was in no way how I had envisioned. I could feel the tears building up. As we were pulling into the driveway, I could not hold them back any longer. I could feel the warm tears flowing down my face. How can Milton say he loved me, yet treat me so cold? It's obvious I'm trying to work this matter out, but he just does not seem to care. As Milton parked the car, he glanced over and saw how upset I was. He knew it took a lot to bring me to tears, and it usually meant that I was very upset. Baby, don't cry, he said in a quiet tone. How the hell can he tell me not to cry? This has been the week from hell. The more I try to make it better, the more he ends up making it worse. I'm just ready to give up and say fuck it. I damn near jumped out of the car as soon as he turned off the ignition. As I was rushing into the house, Milton managed to grab my hand and pull me close to him. Baby, please stop crying. I'm sorry if my actions are hurting you. I understand you want answers. If it is any reassurance, I still want to go forward with our wedding plans. How in the hell does he expect us to still move forward with the wedding and he can't even discuss what triggered him to up and leave? Is he fucking kidding me right now? I guess it just seems to him like the right thing to say, considering how upset I am. Once I managed to get the door open, I headed straight to the bedroom. I was mentally drained. As I flopped across the bed, disgusted, I could hear him downstairs in the basement. What the hell was he digging up now? To tune out his rummaging around, I turned on the television to distract myself from the thoughts that were running through my head. It wasn't long before I eventually nodded off. Maybe a nap was what I needed to make me feel better and forget about my morning with him here. I had just dozed off into a deep sleep when I smelled his cologne next to me. He gently nudged my shoulder. The first few times, I ignored him on purpose. Again, he nudged a little harder. I was not in the mood to deal with this. I just wanted to go back to sleep, clear my head, and hopefully he would be gone by the time I woke up. "Yes," I said in a raised tone as I turned to face him after he nudged me one final time. Frustration, disgust, and disappointment were written all over my face. I'm sure he could see it. It really felt like steam was pouring out from the top of my head. This whole ordeal had been taken completely out of context as it is, and his behavior this morning did not make it any better. We are supposed to be finalizing plans for our wedding, but instead, we are arguing over my life several years ago. Better yet, not addressing what triggered him. This can't be life. I'm ready to talk. It is only fair to you and us that we deal with this and put it behind us if we expect to have any type of future together, he said in a calm, raspy tone. It seemed like he was finally snapping into reality. Cool. I'm listening. I still had attitude in my tone. I did not bother to sit up in the bed. I continued to lay there. Just as I finished my sentence, Milton handed me a torn page from the journal. Is this what he was rummaging for when we got back from breakfast? I meant to burn the rest of those loose papers and journals the other night. I must have really gotten distracted thinking about the past. September 16th. Tonight, I saw my life flash before my eyes. I never thought this would happen to me. I feel so violated. I trusted him and never would have thought he would do this to me. God was clearly on my side. I have to take this experience and change my life. I'm headed on the road to destruction. Lord, please give me the strength to overcome this situation. As much as I have going on with school and work, I risk it all because I can't get over my love for the wild side. I promise that from this moment, I will live my life according to your will. Mom was not joking when she said, "He giveth and he taketh away." Man, this is clearly the lowest point in my life. How am I going to explain to my students why I have not been coming to class? Tears streamed down my face. It had been years since I had written that entry. This was actually the last entry and the end of my journals. Instantly, memories of that day flashed before me. But what I was trying to understand was why Milton chose this one to hold on to. Could this be the one entry that sent him over the edge? Why is he specifically bringing this one up? Damien and I met one night down the bottom. This was when it was the place to be on the weekend. The flood zone was the happening spot. If you could not make it in the club, you definitely had to be hanging outside when it was over to see who was doing it up inside. This particular night, Jay and I were wasted. I don't even know how we made it in the club. Yet, even in our drunkenness, we were fierce. The club was packed that night, as always. As soon as we got inside, we hit the dance floor. We were well known as girls who got the party started. I was just really getting into my career as a teacher and had not reached the point of caring if I saw my students out. For the most part, they would be in the 18 and up spots. That was the good thing about the flood zone on a Saturday night. It was 21 and up, and I was in the clear. Jay and I danced up until the DJ announced last call. By this time, we had started to sober up a bit. Jay had been dancing with some guy most of the night and wanted to catch up with him so that she could get his number. We knew that it was another 15 minutes before the club would let out, so we decided to just head outside to see if we could catch Jay's mystery man as he was leaving the club since we had lost him in the crowd. We posted up by the pizza shop so that we could have a good view of everyone as they were leaving. As we were waiting, this random dude came and stood next to me. For a while, he did not say anything. He just looked. He came over there alone, which I found sort of strange. Maybe he was waiting for someone in the pizza shop. Jay was getting antsy. She could not find her dude. I don't know why she just did not get the number in the club. she had danced with him most of the night. I never understood her sometimes, and this was clearly one of those times. He could have very well already passed by, lost in the crowd of people who were out and about. I was getting tired, and I was ready to take it down for the night. Man, fuck it. I would just have to catch him another time, Jay said, full of frustration. She, too, was starting to get tired. I knew I had to act soon as she said that, or we would have been standing out there forever. As Jay and I were about to make our way to the car, the random guy beside me decided all of a sudden he wanted to say something. How you gonna leave and not give me your number? He acted as if I should have given him my number as soon as he came over. Was this a requirement I did not know about? What the hell? His ass had been standing there for 15 minutes or so and had not even said shit the entire time. Now here I am ready to go and he wants to say something. I wanted to ignore him, but he was on the sexy side. It was not long after he decided to speak, he mentioned his name, Damien. Damien was about 5'11 and was a piece of dark chocolate. His skin was not as smooth as I would have liked, but it was not too bad. He had a low cut with some very deep waves. It looked like he had a rock solid build underneath that shirt. He had little button-like eyes, dark brown, that just melted my heart. He was too hard to resist. It was the eyes that pulled me in. Now, you know you wrong. Here I am about to roll out and you want to talk? You could have said all of that when you came over here 15 minutes ago. I was trying to say it in a flirty yet stern way. I mean, he stammered as I cut him off abruptly. I was not in the mood to listen to any line he was about to pull out. Men and their lines can be the worst. You mean what? You wild for that one. You have been standing here for a minute and you did not utter a word. I was thinking about what to say. I did not want to come over here and sound whack or anything. Don't make this hard. Just give me your number. I was too tired to be difficult, so I just gave him my number. At this point, I just wanted to get to the car and make it home as fast as I could. It was bad enough that I had to take Jay to pick up her child and then still take them home. All of me wanted to give him the wrong number, but those eyes did not allow me to do so. If I give you my number, will you let me go? I'm super tired and my bed is calling me. Wow, you are so rude. Okay, give me your number and we will continue this conversation tomorrow, he bargained. It ended up being a few days before Damien called me. After the second day without a call, I figured I wouldn't hear from him. Usually, if you are interested in someone, you would have at least called by now. As I often said, out of sight, out of mind. At this point, Damien clearly was out of mind. Out of his mind if he thought I was still interested. Don't get me wrong, he was sexy, but not enough for me to be sitting around hoping he would call. The day Damien decided to call ended up being about 2 weeks later. I was out at the mall with Jay and Callie. We were shopping for a party that was going on that night. The first time the phone rang, I did not answer because I did not recognize the number. The phone rang again less than a minute later. This time, I decided to answer. I was thinking it had to be someone that knew me if they were going to call back to back. Hello, I said in a rushed tone. I wanted to shop, not be caught up on the phone. Hey, may I speak to Mackenzie, please? I did not recognize the voice on the other end. It was apparent that it was someone that I did not talk to on a regular basis. This is she, and you are, I responded. Damien, we met a while ago down the bottom, said the voice on the other end. Hell, I had no idea who a Damien was. Usually, if I gave someone my number and they did not call me within the first 48 hours, I would forget about them. Damien spent the first 10 minutes refreshing my memory of where we met. He had a good memory because he described everything from that night in full detail. He had to remember what I was wearing, where I was standing when he approached, and even what I said verbatim. Oh, okay. I remember now, I said, still in a rushed tone. My mind was still on shopping and finding something for the party. We talked for a bit. I could tell he was not much of a phone person. He asked the basic questions. You got kids? You got a boyfriend? Where do you live? Where do you work? All the basic shit. He was surprised when I told him I was a teacher. I was getting bored and was trying to find a good way to get out of the call without being too rude. Well, I'm glad you decided to call, but I'm out at the mall right now. I'm going to keep your number on my phone and holler back at you later. Yeah, you be sure to do that, sexy lady. Oh, before you go, how about we set up a time to go out? I want to see you again. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. I'm free next weekend, so maybe we can hook up then. From the flow of the conversation, I really was not too pressed to go out. But hell, I really did not have anything to do next weekend, so why not? The following week went by quickly, and before I knew it, the day had arrived for my date with Damien. As time got near, I found myself trying to find a way to get out of it. We had not really talked on the phone since we agreed to go out. I was not even sure if we were still on or not. I called Jay and Kelly to see what they were up to for the night. But they both had dates, so hell, why not go out? It beats sitting at home on a Friday night. I figured that before I put too much time into finding something to wear, I should call him to confirm location and time. The phone went straight to voicemail when I called. Maybe I will be able to get out of this after all. To cover my ass, I left the message. Hey, this is Mackenzie. I was just calling to see if we were still on for tonight. I did not want to waste time getting dressed if you had other plans. My intentions were to call you a few days ago, but I have been mad busy. Hit me up and let me know what the deal is when you get a chance. I lied. I had no intention of calling prior to that moment. I was actually not concerned if he called me or not. I had not been that impressed with the initial conversation. It was a matter of minutes before my phone rang. It was Damien. Hey, I answered in a nonchalant tone. Hey, sexy lady, I got your voicemail. I thought you had forgotten about me. I was still under the impression we were going to get up tonight, he said. All right, that's what's up. I will meet you at 8. I really was not trying to stay on the phone long. I had to use the next 2 hours psyching myself up to go forward with the date. I was really hoping that he was better at communicating in person. Damien and I met at an Asian restaurant near the mall. I was surprised that I noticed him at the table. The night we met, I was in such a hurry to get home that I hadn't gotten a really good look at him. The only thing I remember was him having really rich chocolate-looking skin, and those eyes. Looking at him now, he was definitely a cutie. Hey, lady, you looking nice, he said in that raspy tone of his. What the hell did he think? Did he think I was one of these women that got dressed just to come to the club? He really got it twisted. I chuckled to myself. I had kept it simple as always because I was not sure what to expect. A pair of jeans, a tan-colored sweater with a pair of tan and chocolate ankle boots. I figured I would be polite in my response to his comments. Thanks. You don't look too bad yourself. The flow of conversation at dinner was much better than our phone conversation. It appeared that we had some similar interests. We both liked the Chicago Bulls and even some of the same movies. We also had a few mutual friends. The city is small, so that did not come as much of a surprise to either of us. He did not talk much about himself. He mainly spent most of the night asking about me and just making general conversation. At the end of the night, I was glad that I did go ahead with the date. He was really cool. He really was not a phone person, and knowing that helped in dealing with him further. To my surprise, we began to hang out more after the initial date. Hell, we were seeing each other at least 4 times a week. The more time we spent together, the more we started to vibe and connect with each other. After about a month of hanging out, we decided to venture to the physical. Sex between us was okay. It was not anything fantastic, but it was enough to get me through. When Damien and I were intimate, I could tell that he was holding back. He had this secretive side to him that was hard to figure out. He was not a drinker. Damien was so laid back, and he was always so gentle when we were intimate. I asked him a few times why he was delicate with me, hoping it would trigger him to turn it up a notch. The only thing he ever said was that I was fragile, and he did not want to get too rough with me. Man, had I heard that before. Outside of our occasional hookups, Damien and I would hang out with our mutual friends. One day, he caught me off guard and asked that I go with him to a party his family was having. I found it sort of weird that he asked me because Damien never really talked about his family much. He always seemed to avoid the subject. I had no problem accompanying him, but clearly did not want them thinking he and I were a couple, because we were definitely not. I was not good at pretending, so it would be obvious that we were not together. Like that. I wasn't for being drilled or questioned about our status. You know, as soon as you take someone around mama and the family, they automatically assume you are a couple. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed my time with him, but I did not really see him as relationship type. Damien and I clearly had a sexual, casual friendship, and it was obvious we were never going past that level of dealing with each other. And I was fine with that, and so was he. The day of the party, Damien arrived at my house wearing a pair of jeans, a navy polo shirt, and some white Air Force Ones. He always dressed very neatly. Since I was not sure what to expect, I figured I would tone it down a bit. I kept it very simple. A pair of sailor-style denim jeans, a nice pink strapless top, and a pink pair of mule heels. I did not want to overdo it, but at the same time, I wanted to look nice. The weather was still on the warm side, so I could easily pull off my outfit. On top of that, Damien had told me that it was a very laid-back party, so I did not feel the need to get overdressed. All the way to the party, Damien was going on and on telling me about the relatives and how it had been a minute since he had taken someone around his family. Of all the times Damien and I had spent together, I had never heard him once talk about his family. That day, he was chattering nonstop about the different people that will be at this function. So, why are you deciding to take someone around them now? It was killing me. I had to know. I'd had enough of hearing about them. That part was irrelevant to me. I was pretty good at fitting in with people when I needed to. I thought my question was more important. Well, Mackenzie, I think you're mad cool. I get tired of always coming to function solo. If you feel uncomfortable, we can roll out whenever you're ready. I just really wanted to show my face. My people always say I don't come around anymore. Well, we'll just see how it goes. I know how my family is when someone brings someone new around. The unstarred and intensive interrogation. But I know how to act, so it will be cool. As soon as we pulled up, the butterflies set in a little. The parking lot was packed. I was not expecting that many cars. Also, we were running behind, and I hated being late to functions. Damien grabbed my hand as we walked to the door. As soon as we got inside, all heads turned toward us. Damn, I uttered under my breath. Damien chuckled. I'm sorry, sweetie. My mom must have told everyone that I was coming with someone. I could feel people staring us down as we walked across the room. This was more uncomfortable than I had ever imagined. I knew it. These people are convinced that we are together. I was already starting to play out some of the conversations in my head. I should have taken a drink before we left. Because Damien did not drink, I always tried to be considerate when we hung out. But this was one of those days where I clearly needed a pass. As we were looking for a table, we were approached by Damien's uncle. He was too funny. Hey, Day-Day. Who's the pretty young thing you got with you? Asked this older gentleman who looked like he was stuck in the 70s. He reminded me of David Witherspoon's character in Boomerang. He was that uncle who tried to holler at everything walking. He was hilarious as he approached drinking on his corn liquor. Damien ignored his question and we kept walking toward a table in the back of the room. As we approached the table, I instantly noticed Damien's mother. Damien was the splendid image of her. His mother had the same dark skin, and she wore her hair in a bob cut. It looked really nice and complimented her face. Mama had style, too, for an older woman. Hey, Ma, he said in a boyish tone as he bent down to kiss her on the forehead. The one thing that Damien had shared about his family was that he was a mama's boy. His tone when he spoke to her clearly confirmed that. Hey there, baby. Who's your little friend here? She asked in a very snide tone. You could tell she was not too pleased to see another woman on her baby boy's arm, even though he had given her a heads up that I would be joining him. Mom, this is my friend Mackenzie. Mackenzie, this is my mom, Mrs. Tompkins. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Tompkins, I said. His mother was at the table with some of his aunts, and they were clearly looking me up and down. I know he had said that it had been a minute since he last brought someone around his family, but hell, the way these people were looking at me, I was starting to question Damon's sexuality. Was this fool gay and using me as his little cover-up? Could this be why I was getting the third-degree looks? We all have that cousin in our family, you know, the one queer as a $3 bill, but always got some fly chick on his side to convince the other relatives he's straight. I was really starting to ponder this gay thing. Hell, even as he introduced me to some of the other guests at the party, I was noticing that they also looked at me strangely. When I think back to past situations, I had noticed that he did have some feminine ways, but I always chalked it up to him being a pretty boy. After all the introductions, I found a seat over at the table with one of his boys he had introduced me to one night. One night I was over at his place. I sat there and talked to him for a while before I found myself getting bored. I mean, I had only met this dude once, but there was only so much we could talk about. I was trying not to be all up under Damien, so I just waited for him to return to the table after making his rounds with the remainder of his family. We made eye contact while he was at a nearby table. I guess he could see that I had run out of conversation with his friend. As he made his way back over, he stopped by the bar. "Here you go, sexy lady. You look like you could use this," he said jokingly. "I'm good. You know I don't like to drink when I'm around you," I reminded him. "I know, but you could use it. Maybe it will relieve some of the tension." He was right about that. I normally mingle well with others, but this atmosphere was a bit different. There was clearly something going on that I was not aware of. "Thanks, buddy. I think this will be one moment when I will make an exception." We both chuckled. It was funny that Damien and I would always find ourselves chuckling at the simplest of things. After I finished the first drink, I loosened up just a little. Damien's uncle found his way over to our table. "Damien, let me take this PYT off your hands for a few seconds. Come on, sexy, let's dance," said his uncle. Oh Lord, this is not happening. As in, I want to be rude. I figured that if I cut a rug with Uncle Junebug, then everyone would see that I was down to earth and stop giving me the crazy eye. Damien chuckled as his uncle grabbed my hand and pulled me from my seat. Uncle Junebug was grinning from ear to ear as he led me to the dance floor. I did my two-step while he was doing the old man shuffle. It was all in fun. I glanced over and saw Damien and his boy cracking up. They thought this was super funny. That had to have been the longest song ever. As soon as it was over, I told Uncle Junebug that I needed to take a break. These shoes were not made for dancing. I had done my duty of being nice, and it was obvious that Damien was not coming anytime soon to rescue me. Once I returned to the table, everyone was laughing. "Man, let me find out we about to have a repeat of last time. You got Uncle Junebug out there trying to fill up on your girl. You know what happened last time you brought one of your chicks around," said his friend. "Repeat of last time? What the hell was he talking about?" I could tell Damien was aggravated by that comment, but I could also tell that now was not the time to question what his boy meant. "You want another drink?" he asked. "Yeah, give me another vodka and cranberry." "Hell, I might take a drink with you," he said. I turned to face him, shocked. Of all the times he and I had been out, he had never had a single drink, yet alone shown the desire to have one. "But you don't drink," I reminded him. "I don't drink anymore," he replied. I noticed the emphasis he put on the word anymore. Once again, I found myself pondering the situation. Maybe he used to be a gay alcoholic that fucked up all the little boys when he was drunk. Most people who used to drink usually have a reason for why they stop. This was yet another mystery regarding the infamous Damien. It seemed the more time we spent together, the more reservations I was starting to have about him. The more I realized that I didn't know certain things about him. Damien returned with my drink, and I noticed that he also had a drink for himself. I guess my dancing with Uncle Junebug warmed everyone up to me, because now they were all eager to talk. His family was really drilling us about our friendship. Every time we turned around, someone wanted to know where we had met or where I had been hiding. The questions continued to roll. The more Damien and I tried to confirm that we were only friends, the more his family insisted that we were in denial. One of his male cousins noticed that Damien was drinking and made the comment again of not wanting a repeat of last time. This was the second time this last time incident had come up. What the hell happened this last time that everyone was referring to? I guess the constant reminder of that last incident and all the questioning about our status has started to get to Damien, because when I looked, he had another drink in his hand. Zane, is it that bad? I asked. Man, I should have known this was a bad idea. I knew I should not have brought you here with me. This shit is too much. I mean, they are making a big deal out of nothing. His tone was a little bit harsh and aggressive. Well, Damien, you know how family is sometimes. It's cool. It could be a lot worse. They could be telling crazy ass stories about your past and sharing weird baby pictures, I said, trying to confirm him that everything was okay. I was trying to comfort him, but Damien was not having it. I had never seen him like this prior to this day. He normally was very laid back. It was only a matter of minutes before he was ready to roll out. I guess he did his part by showing his face. Now it was time to go. The ride back was quiet. Why was he so upset because his family was all in his business? I mean, that is how families are. He should have expected that. I did not see why he was so upset. Damien, I just have to ask. Why in the hell are you this upset? Don't get me wrong. I have brought friends around my family before and they have given them the third degree. But never have I gotten so upset and took it so personally. It's life. That's just family. It's their job to protect the ones they care about. Unfortunately, they do it by getting all in our business and acting weird sometimes. I did not take it personal, so you should not be so heated. Hell, you even had a few drinks. What's the deal with that? I inquired. Man, just fuck it, he said, really snappy. What in the hell? I know he was not snapping on me. I just asked a damn question. Maybe there was something to hide, I remember thinking to myself. Damn, Damien, it is really not that serious. You act like you got something to hide. Hell, from the way you snapping, I'm convinced that there is something you are not telling me. There is no need to get snappy with me when I was just making conversation. I was starting to get a little annoyed at this time because I really was trying to do my part and be a friend. Man, Mackenzie, you would never understand. My peoples know that shit was uncalled for. They just took it overboard. The look on his face and his tone all clearly confirmed that he did not want to talk about this. So I did not respond or continue to push the issue. Before we went back to Damien's spot, we stopped by the village so that he could get something to eat. I was in shock when he ordered his food and he also asked for a double shot of tequila. I was a little worried, considering this was someone who up until that day had never seen such a drink. He was so caught up in his family and their questioning that he didn't even touch the food. While we were at the restaurant, Damien revealed why he was so upset by the way his family had acted. I guess the alcohol loosened him up enough to share what had made the situation so unbearable. Damien had been in a 2-year relationship with a young lady and they were set to be married. After a night of having drinking at one of his family functions, he found her and his cousin in the back of his car fucking. After that incident, he had become very hesitant to bring women around his family. Damien had put so much time into that relationship that he had taken it very hard when they parted ways. He felt very betrayed by her actions and also to find out that she had slept with other relatives of his as well. I could understand how he would be hurt, but that did not explain why he was in such a snappy mood all of a sudden. I assumed that incident with his ex was the last time that they had been referring to. At any rate, I was not buying that this was the full story. He was clearly leaving something out. I just had the feeling that he was sharing only part of the story. his story just wasn't consistent at all. There were a lot of ums and ahs, but for the sake of keeping the peace, I just rolled with the nonsense he was spitting out. I just wanted to get back to my car at this point. "The way you acting, I thought it was going to be worse than that," I said in a joking tone. "I mean, it is screwed up that your woman was getting her freak on with your cousin and other relatives. But Damien, the way you were acting, I was really starting to think you were a down low brother. Hence the reason for your family being so surprised at you bringing a woman around," I said jokingly. We both burst out laughing. I'm glad he found the humor in my remark. Damien and I had one more drink before we headed out. I did not have as much to drink as Damien, so I figured it would be best if I drove. He was clearly filling his drinks and was in no condition to drive. He was stumbling as we walked to the car. At one point, I had to hold him up so he would not fall in the... Oh my God. So things are definitely heating up with this Damien character that's now into play. So he's like acting out of character. He's acting weird. Mackenzie is seeing a side of him that she's never seen before. I mean, I wonder what's going to happen next. You know, he's revealed why his family was acting strange. But is that really why they were acting strange? Is there more to be discovered? Well, I guess we'll have to find out on the next journey that we take together. But in the meantime, be you, be fabulous, and be ever so amazing.